This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, earlier this morning, shocker for me, Ross Dellinger reported that the Protect College Sports Act passes the Senate Committee, Senate Commerce Committee. 19-9, and now may head to the Senate floor. So, what does that mean? Wouldn't the conferences still have to approve all this stuff?
I don't know. All I know is that they're probably going to paperclip some stuff to it, like a brand new tax and some camera laws that allow the government to spy on you.
What?
That's what they're probably going to do.
What are you talking about?
That's what they always do. They always, like, hide something in the middle of, like, a bill that you think is useful. They hide some anti-freedom.
Well, one of the notes, or one of the, pieces in this bill is talking about NIL. And Ross Dellinger says, hey, this is how most are interpreting it, so we're waiting for clarification. He said, though interpretations differ over the ambiguous nature of the language, the bipartisan bill introduced by Senator Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell appears to close a lucrative loophole that schools are using to pay their athletes beyond the revenue share cap allotted to them. The bill's text prevents athlete NIL deals struck with, quote, associated entities from resulting in compensation in an amount that would circumvent or result in the institution exceeding the revenue share cap. So basically, this would try to edit the NIL deals. So if you sign an NIL deal for whatever amount, that would count against the cap. So if it's $20 million now or they get it to $40 million, it's not just the money that's going to the school. I don't think that's going to pass. Because then you're taking away a student athlete's rights from going out and doing endorsement deals again. We're right back to that. Like, you can, you're a capitalist, right, Michael? There shouldn't be, like, a limit on what you can earn when it comes to this kind of thing. And so if that bill, if that portion, the way I'm understanding it, basically says quarterback signs a $2 million deal, but he wanted four. Great. I'm going to go work with the tire company and they're going to cover. I know, whatever. I'm going to get an auto body shop or an oil company on that's going to help me get $2 million. Well, it would, if it was just the $2 million originally, that would count against the salary cap. They're trying to say in this bill that if you go get $2 million from an outside entity or an associated entity, that would still count against the cap. So then that would, how would you even control that? Because that would cap at the limits, and then you're telling a player he can't go out, and if he goes out and earn and gets more in a side deal, every amount that he gets, whatever, every dollar he gets, goes toward the salary cap then? So they can't make a deal? I don't think that's going to fly. That goes back to not allowing them to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. To it would basically say it's at a certain point.
Yeah, see, this is, we try to make this happen, but you always have people ahead of the curve who are trying to make money, and they already have these ideas. They already have, like, the brand new idea to get around the law.
I don't know how they're going to do this. Ross Dellinger continues to write at Yahoo Sports. For a year now, schools have used multimedia rights partners, corporate sponsors, and apparel brands, all deemed as associated entities because of their contractual relationship with the universities. To intentionally circumvent the cap, universities are redirecting revenue traditionally intended for the athletic department to their rosters in the form of manufactured NIL opportunities with multimedia rights partners like Learfield and Playfly and brands like Nike and Adidas, all in an effort to exceed a cap in a hotly competitive recruiting environment. Does that make sense what they're doing? Are you following me? I just want to make sure we're laying this out.
I'm getting it.
Yeah. Now, I've said that that's not great. How do you fix it? Because, but Michael, you can't. So you've let's say it goes up to $40 million. The cap is $40 million a year. And you go over that because little Billy signed an endorsement deal, an NIL deal with somebody. Would they just say, no, you can't do that? You're over the limit. So we're going to punish the student. I mean, again, I know they're going to make money now, and people are arguing about that. But the whole point of this from the beginning was not that the schools could pay them, was that they could go earn based on their name, image, and likeness. If you want to throw my name up, my face up on a billboard, great, pay me for it. But they want to essentially not take it away, but they would want to limit it. So that you're not, and I get it. It's like, this is what's hard for my brain, Michael. It does seem like cheating to say, hey, we're already over the salary cap, but we really want this left tackle. Great. Just get, you know, a multimedia right partner, in line, get a sponsor in line to cover him, even though we're already over the cap. That's not right. It's supposed to be organic NIL. It's supposed to be, I transferred to Texas Tech, and I hired an agent while there, because they weren't supposed to have agents, but they can have marketing agents, whatever. I hired an agent while there, and he went out, she went out, and got a business to come in, and I'm working with them on my own accord, and that's how it's working. But they're using it as a way to entice them to come to the school. Yes, Michael.
It should just be you either get paid by the school or you find an NIL deal. Like, that's what it should be. Because you can get more for an NIL deal. Like, if you're a stud and Nike's like, we like this guy, we're going to give him a brand new shoe. They're not going to be Jordans. They're going to be Smiths now.
Players aren't going to go along with this. So, in this, you have many people in the industry believe that Section 114 of the Protect College Sports Act may limit the amount of money that athletes are currently receiving, potentially by hundreds of millions of dollars. People that are included, certain athletes, 19 athletes representing 7 different sports covering 14 Division I conferences, submitted a letter on Tuesday to lawmakers detailing how Section 114 would have a severe negative impact and greatly inhibit student-athlete compensation in general. That one's not going to fly. Just get that in your brains, Mike. That one's not going to fly. Also continuing here, yeah, you said Chris Brady sounds like the Wizards Trae Young issue is crazy. Could the Nuggets be able to take a swing at him? Seems ugly. I mean, Trae Young just declined his $48.9 million player option. Will become a free agent Monday. But according to ESPN, Washington remains the front runner for Trae Young. But multiple teams are interested. Here's what I know. The Nuggets have no interest in going into the second apron. So signing him, based on what you have right now on your roster, would put you there. You'd have to move contracts. Would you rather have Trae Young or Jamal Murray? I don't even know if it's possible to move that, because that's a lot of cheese we're talking about. Trae Young's interesting. I think he'd be there's a part. I don't think it's realistic right now. There is a guy that the Nuggets are targeting that's picking up some steam, and that's Bogdan Bogdanovic, who played with Joker on the Serbian team in the Olympics. Good 3-point shooter. But I don't know that they're. I don't know that they're going to be ready to move off of Jamal Murray. Most of the real rumors that I'm looking at is like Cam Johnson, Christian Brown, maybe. So, speaking of the second apron and such, James Dolan, who is the owner of the New York Knicks, was asked Wednesday, because there's going to be, is the parade going to be today in New York? Ooh, that would be, the amount of cops that they have going to that thing, man, it's crazy. But James Dolan said Wednesday he will not go into the second apron to keep his team together for the 26-27 season, even after it won its first NBA title in 53 years. He said, we cannot go into the second apron. So basically what you need to know, if any team surpasses that threshold, it's limited to what it can do in free agency and other roster building mechanisms. So that whole the whole Trae Young thing would penalize the Nuggets and put them in there, even if they moved a couple of contracts, because they're very close to it right now, I believe. According to ESPN's Bobby Marks, the Knicks are projected to be $13 million below the second apron this summer. Rotation players like Mitchell Robinson and Landry Shamet are free agents. So there's enough money there that would put them over the mark. That would pose a big problem as the Knicks were just $200,000 under the second apron this season. Just $200,000. Your starting five is under contract for next season. And if the team wanted to, there's no rule restricting it from re-signing its own players. This is the thing. The second apron is confusing. It's frustrating. But it is also delivering. People that were negative against the NBA for, you know, we're not talking about the in-play stuff, had a problem with the fact that there just wasn't parity. And, you know, like what the NFL has. But now, I think, Mike, in the last 8 years, we've seen a different champion. The Knicks this year, the Thunder last year, the Celtics the year before that, the Nuggets, the Warriors, the Bucks, the Lakers, the Raptors.
I like that.
I like a mix. I like a little bit of a dynasty sprinkled in there. We don't want to go there again, Mike.
Well, I was going to say, you still do have like the Thunder flopping their way into the playoffs. The Nuggets have been going to the playoffs recently. I like those too. It's kind of fun to see new teams.
Well, that
every
was
year.
The problem, because it was always Golden State and Cleveland,
Miami,
or whatever team LeBron was on with Miami. This is supposed to prevent, like, the Thunder should have. You know, they still had the roster set from last year, pretty much the same guys. So they're going to look at that as a pretty significant failure for them, but. This is what the league wanted from the beginning. We're going to put the second apron in place so that teams can't just go out and get star after star. Michael, the year that Golden State, now they didn't win a title that year, but they broke a record for most wins in a season.
62?
No, it was, I think it was 72.
Okay. Yeah, it was something with the two.
They beat the Bulls record with Jordan, and the Bulls still won the championship that year. So they do that, they don't win a title. But they'd already won one before that. So what did they do, Mike? They went out and they got Kevin Durant. Like, the rich get richer. Golden State was, even though they didn't win a title that year, still considered, like, today's Thunder. Like, hey, I know they didn't win, but they're still probably the favorite to do it. And then they go and get Kevin Durant. How does that even seem possible? So the NBA had been working on this plan for several years after that to put up these tiers. so that if you're overpaying here, you get this, you get dinged here. If you're overpaying there, you get dinged there. If you're in the second apron, it screws everything up. However, if you feel like you're a championship team and you need one big contract, maybe you're willing to do that. In fact, that's what Bill Simmons was talking about on his podcast. We'll get to that coming back on the other side. Stay with us. We'll talk about what potentially the Nuggets could do with some of these names. And is Bogdan a guy that you're like, oh, yeah, that'll get it done? But apparently Joker kind of wants him there. I'm not sure if they're in communication, but that's a good friend of his. So it's a whole show. Keep it here. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Rodeo Radio. Free tickets.
It's free, right?
Daily updates. When it comes to the Greeley Stampede, KFKA has you covered. Here's Stampede coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Are you in a Chili Peppers kind of mood today, Mike?
I can be, but right now I'm in a Cool in the Gang mood.
The Cool in the Gang intro, that's very, a lot of Chili Peppers, what do you call it, inspiration, was a lot from there. So that's why
They both do have a lot of funk in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just
they got a really great bass player, Flea.
Flea's amazing.
That guy's brilliant.
He is brilliant, Mike. I saw the Chili Peppers in concert.
Really? When?
Now it's Ball Arena, but at the Pepsi Center years and years ago.
I assume it was an expensive ticket.
You know what? My buddy, one of my roommate at the time, one of my best friends, before he got married, we decided to go to a ton of concerts, and he was making a lot of good money at the time, and I was not making a lot of good money at the time, so he hooked me up.
Now you're making. Now you've got an NIL deal.
We're trying. I'm trying to find one.
Mike and Kilpatrick is brought to you by a Mexican food restaurant or anyone that serves breakfast burritos.
How about Big City Roadhouse, like the sponsor that's already on the show?
I said anybody who serves breakfast burritos, like Big City Roadhouse, stopped doing that 25 minutes ago.
There's a reason I do these.
Did you see that commercial where the guy sponsored his kid's name?
Yeah, that was. Is it a State Farm commercial or no?
I don't know who it's for, but I love that commercial.
That's actually
it's
pretty
hilarious.
Good. That's actually pretty good. All right, Mike. Bill Simmons had some interesting things to say a couple of weeks ago on his podcast, basically about, you know, hey, Nuggets, just go get and make sure you re-sign Peyton Watson. Did you edit this? Because there's some language in there, Mike. Okay, let's hear what he had to say about the Nuggets and Peyton Watson.
Oh, I'll leave you with this. Why does Denver have to trade anybody to sign Peyton Watson? Off. You have Jokic on your team, heads. Pay everybody. Clip this out, Denver fans. Clip this out. Kroenke's got a kajillion dollars. Just pay Peyton Watson and keep everyone else on your team because your owner's super rich.
How much did Arsenal make?
What are we doing?
So he's saying just go into the second apron. Is he not? Is he ignoring the second apron thing, or is he just saying because you're rich, you should be able to do it? You can't just if you say. Do you believe the question is Bill Simmons? And I would love to ask him again. A great podcast, the Bill Simmons podcast. Not many better than that guy. Do you believe Peyton Watson? If you re-sign him, that's the move to win a championship. I would say the answer is that's not the only move. That's a move. We still have things to figure out. Aaron Gordon's not getting any younger. Jamal Murray's not getting any more consistent. Well, at least I guess he was in the regular season. You can be rich. You can be the richest owner in the world. The Nuggets ownership has always been rich but cheap. You know what I mean? When it comes to the Nuggets. So why do you think they hired David Adelman? first year coaches. They love brand new coaches. But I mean, I get it. Just pay everyone, keep everyone on your team. But then you would be in the second apron. So you would be really restricted on anything you do for a while.
I mean, you could ask Jokic to take a pay cut. I mean, I don't know if I would ask him. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, boy, I wish we had more money. Jokic could be like, I will take a pay cut.
I don't know if they'll ask him that. They might. I mean, but he's eligible to make the max contract this offseason, and he'll probably sign it. It's tough. And when you say pay cut, keep in mind, like, these dudes that take pay cuts, they're really just moving money around most of the time. Because everyone's like, oh, Tom Brady did all this. He moved money around, and it was always in signing bonuses. Just interesting ways to go outside the salary cap.
By the way, Kronk is worth $22.2 billion.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with money. They have the money to do it. The problem is they'd be above the second apron threshold, so they'd have heavy restrictions on their team-building methods. Now, that's why I say this. If you think you're going to win a championship next year, if it's championship or bust, and you have a player that you think is going to be a key contributor and you going to the winning a title, then you say, second apron be damned, we're going all in. But that's why I caution you, if you think just leaving your roster as is and then signing everyone, you better win. Because it's not, I believe you're not just punished for the year, you're punished for a while. We know they have the money. We know the Kroenkes have the money. The issue isn't really whether or not they have the money to pay for an expensive roster. It's whether or not they want to open their pocketbooks and or get into the second apron. And I haven't seen, like, they just got out of first, almost second apron status and said, it was Tinsler and Wallace both said, yeah, we don't have a lot of interest in getting back into the luxury tax line. The Nuggets gave up a second-round pick to trade Hunter Tyson to the Nets and get under, along with Michael Porter Jr. thing, to get under the luxury tax line. They stood less than $500,000 over the threshold. The Nuggets have paid the luxury tax in six of those of the last seasons and have never paid over $21 million. Paying their projected luxury tax number they're currently at entering this offseason would be a steep jump, according to SI.com, from the precedent they've set, and even more so if Watson is signed to a new deal.
Jokic is worth $120 million, and I did some quick math. That is 0.01% of Serbia's gross domestic product.
That is really interesting.
You're welcome, America.
That's what he's getting paid right now, Joker?
Well, that's what he's worth.
Oh, it's what he's worth. He's getting ready to be worth more.
Oh, probably.
When he signs that new contract.
Look, he deserves it. He deserves it, but the question you have to ask yourself is, do I want a cup or do I want more money?
A trophy.
He can have more money, but like at some point, does the one cup make you feel fulfilled or do you want another one?
You got soccer on the brain? It's not a cup. They don't play for a cup.
Well, they play for the NBA Cup.
It's a trophy. It's a ball. It's a
no, Larry the O'Brien NBA trophy. Cup's the thing you get December whatever.
Nobody cares
you
about
beat
that.
Some people
You're the only person that cares about that, apparently. The biggest thing is, do you think Peyton Watson has gotten to the point where he's a core key player? Because you've made that mistake already with Christian Brown. And maybe it's not a mistake, but if rumors are, you know, if there's any validity to some of these rumors, then Christian Brown is one of the guys they're trying to move. I don't know how you do that. Cam Johnson, his name is on the list as well, as far as guys are trying to move. So when Bill Simmons says, just pay everyone, sign Peyton Watson, it's not even a matter of money to me. If you want to get in the second apron because you believe Peyton Watson is a championship-type player, then sure, go for it. You're going to say 2 months of great play is enough to tell you whether or not you want to push all your chips in and say, hey, we are going all in. It is literally championship or bust. Because if they do that for Peyton Watson and they just run it back, I'm not so sure that works. I mean, the Nuggets are in a difficult spot and a difficult time right now. I agree with Simmons. They have Joker. As long as they have him, they should be considered a contender. Maybe not a an extreme contender, but certainly a contender. But is running it back another year, and that would be running it back and signing, re-signing Peyton Watson. And you got other guys to sign too, like Tim Hardaway Jr., Bruce Brown. Are you going to bring those guys back? And then we're hearing about Bogdan Bogdanovic. That's one of Joker's guys. He's a good shooter. He's had a kind of a struggle in his three-point shooting this year with the Clippers, but he's, you know, in 24-25, he shot over 40, he shot 42%. Pretty dang good. Didn't play a lot in 2024. The first half of 24, his percentage was rough, and then it skyrocketed. I think the Peyton Watson thing is a tough dilemma. I don't know that I'm. It's tough. I don't know. I don't know if I would re-sign him. I kind of am of the thinking, like, if you are in a window and that guy's the one who's helping pop open that championship window, then screw the second apron, just go. We got to get at least one more title out of this Joker stuff. I'd be thrilled with two. One is like, okay, had to have it. Two, pretty cool. At least you got two with Joker. If that's the move, then screw the second apron. Just go into it. Just pay him. Your thoughts. 34 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
I'll tell you guys about our ticket sponsor giveaways, and pay attention because we're going to start doing that Greeley Stampede stuff. I got some tickets that I'm going to give away here in just a bit, but interior sprinkler systems, sprinkler installation, fire extinguisher, inspection, kitchen hoods, paint booths, fire alarms. They're all about fire suppression and safety. That's interior sprinkler systems. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com. I was telling Brian Gary a bit about interior sprinklers. You want to know what Brian's question was to me? And he was dead. No, he's going to hate me for telling the story, but he was dead serious.
Yeah, go ahead and tell it.
He said, thank you, Michael.
I'm the one that actually runs the show. You are just my puppet.
Go ahead and tell it. Brian says, why do you need sprinklers inside? Interior sprinklers.
In case there's a fire.
Right. That's what you need interior sprinklers for. But he was thinking of like your yard sprinkler system. So that was fun.
I mean, it could be an interior sprinkler on the interior of your yard.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, Michael. Eastside Chris says, by the way, what movie are we reviewing tomorrow? Little Giants.
Already saw it.
Good job.
Saw it last Thursday.
Did you have a good time?
Like 1 a.m. in the morning.
When you had to stay up all night.
Yeah. I'm not gonna cut it. That's
no. Don't give your review now. You just removed one of. You know how I do Pixar on Friday.
I could
everybody
send
knows
it down
that.
To
it's
the
a
minor
build
leagues,
up, Mike. It's a build, and that's not an option. It's a build up.
It's an option now.
I might have phoned a friend for our basketball movie suggestions. Coach Steve Smiley might come in and review a basketball movie with us this summer.
But which movie would it be?
A basketball movie.
I say Hoosiers.
Maybe. Maybe
have you
not.
Seen it?
I actually haven't seen Hoosiers.
I think we should.
Maybe. I'll think about it.
We have to do a couple football movies.
We got to do like two more football movies. We got Little Giants, and I'm open to suggestions. We've already done a bunch of suggestions from them. But Little Giants, Rudy. Man. All I know is that, and this is part of the reason why we're doing this thing, because we want to know, did your taste change over the years when it comes to movies? Or was it just not as good as you remember? I will say this. I'm watching it again, Little Giants tonight, for the first time in I don't know how many years. I loved it when I was a kid. It was amazing. So we're going to find out if it holds up in 2026.
Yeah, Al Bundy plays an Al Bundy type, and Rick Moranis plays a Rick Moranis type.
It was so cool, though. Ed O'Neill?
Yeah.
They were like the cowboys, you know, the little cowboys. And they had all the cool stuff, all the expensive stuff, and he was like a great coach, a legend. Was he a player, or was he...
He was a legendary player who went to like Ohio State or something, and like he's the celebrity in town,
yes.
And his younger brother Rick Moranis like did never do anything.
Never really.
And his wife left him.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I just remember it being a great movie, but as we've learned with some of these, they do kind of lose their luster a little bit. They're not really as good as we remember,
especially if you saw it as a kid. I remember watching Darkwing Duck as a kid, and that was great. And as soon as I got Disney Plus, I watched the first four episodes, and I was like, I had no standards as a child.
Oh, there's so many things that I've gone back and watched. Like
Animaniacs still holds up.
Like, honestly, because we're probably not going to review White Man Can't Jump, because I believe Colfax and I did that a few years ago. That movie, I used to love it. It was so freaking good. I went back and rewatched it for the movie review, and I just remember, I'm like, this is still good. It's not as good as I remember it being. I mean, I swore by that movie. I thought that movie was the greatest, and I went back and watched it, and it's like, it really happens so fast. Like, they build their relationship so quickly.
And so, you were like, wait a minute, White Man Can Jump.
Well, you find out at the end. But
this white man can't jump.
No. I don't think you can jump. Yeah, so that's what we're reviewing. Little Giant. Are Hooligans, are you teaming up with us? So we're going to... Last week, we did Remember the Titans. We all started it, I believe.
Yeah, one of the greatest movies.
I don't think Tanner's joining us. I think Derbs is joining us, for sure. But
because Derbs wanted to review this one.
This is Derbs' dream, is to review Little Giants. This is all he's wanted. This is the moment he has been working so hard for. Was to be on the radio so he could review the movie Little Giants.
And we're letting him go after the review.
Yeah. We're letting him. We might even let him host it. Like, let him take over.
He can run the board.
We could let him try to run the board. Give you a little break back there because you're exhausted.
I'm always exhausted.
How many... So did we do four baseball movies? We did The Natural.
Not good.
Not good. We did Major League.
Good.
Good. For Love of the Game.
Not good.
Good.
Not good.
What was the other baseball movie we did? Oh, Bull Durham. I wasn't here.
I didn't watch it.
Derbs is like our most... The review is named after us, and Derbs is the only one that's been here for everything. So those were the baseball movies. So we've done four baseball movies, and then we did...
Two football.
Varsity Blues... You gave it okay.
Yeah, I thought it was
you
okay.
You benched it.
It was way too 90s.
You benched it. And then we did Remember the Titans.
Which is the starting quarterback. Not as good as Rudy, but like damn close.
I hope we're going about this the right way. Like we've picked the most legendary movies.
I mean, there's always next year.
Yeah, there's always next year. Like I don't know where Little Giants sits in terms of like epic and it's one of the great sport movies.
It's like a family movie.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not going to hold up to Remember the Titans. But the question is it a bad movie?
Well, to be fair.
Have your expectations changed? Or, like, is it a bad movie? Because I there are some flaws in it, and there are some strengths in it.
John Madden's in it.
He was in it, and a couple of NFL players.
Yeah, he was in it. When was that movie made? Was it like mid-90s, early 90s?
I think that was very early 90s, or maybe even late 80s.
Yeah, I just remember any time that was on, it was so good. I can't even remember. Yeah, we had it. We had it on like VHS. Little Freaking Giants.
It was 1994.
Watch that all the time. That was a good one. We'll see if it holds up. That's what we're going to find out tomorrow. 47 minutes after the hour, Michael. We'll take a short break here. We'll wrap up hour number two. We've got the clip of the day coming up. Updates on the Colorado Avalanche. Are they done moving pieces? They moved Ross Colton yesterday. So we'll get into some of that later on in the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Every time we talk about the second apron, I have to go and Google it. Every time, because Mike, it is the most complicated thing. And apparently, like, there's more punishment if you're a repeat offender. So if you're like two years in a row, you're in the second apron, that's when the player restrictions and all that stuff, your ability to build up your roster, all that is hurt, but it still impacts you. Like, the luxury tax still is an issue. I don't know, man. Here's what you need to know about the second apron. You don't want to be in it. That hurts you.
Because it's really messy.
It's really messy. And you need an apron. Is that where you were going with that?
That's where I was going.
That's
with
where
it.
You were going with that.
The obvious one.
I know that it's not, like, some people are texting me saying, it's more about, if you're a repeat offender, if you do it twice in a row, then what's the point of being not? I think there's a lot more to it. It's not just a repeat thing. It messes with how you can trade draft picks and sign, vet minimum contracts like a Tim Hardaway Jr. It does mess with your ability to do that. So that's why the Bill Simmons podcast of just, hey, go sign Peyton Watson and then just re-sign everybody, run it back, you have Joker. Well, there's penalties in place to do that. And I think that's why I posted, was sharing his video, saying, hey, are they willing to go into the second apron only if they believe this is championship or bust? And I just don't think that I do, Michael. I don't believe it's championship or bust this year. Based on this roster, unless they got to go get some pieces. I don't know that this is a true contender right now.
If the Nuggets, if they were afraid that Jokic was retiring after this season,
then you go.
I haven't seen any indication.
No.
But like, if he was retiring after the season, or if he was disgruntled, or he was old, that's when you got to go in the second apron.
Yeah, they might, but again, tell me the player you're going after and tell me that guy makes you a championship or bust team. Michael, I got a pair of tickets to go see Extreme Bowls at the Greeley Stampede thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Wednesday, June 24th, the Stampede starts next week. Next week, and I got your tickets to go check out Extreme Bowls next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Let's go caller number 10 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310, caller number 10. You got a pair of tickets to go check out some Extreme Bowls coming up at the Stampede next Wednesday night. Call now. Clip of the day coming up next. We'll be right back.
This
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.